Wingers, welcome into Winging It, presented by Wingman of the Year. Now let's get ready to wing it.
All right, welcome into Wing It, presented by Wingman of the Year. And today we are joined by Anna Leonarda. Did I say that right?
You did.
All right. So, Anna, you created a dating app called Entwine, right?
Yes, I did.
What is it? Give us the synopsis on that.
So I know there's a ton of dating apps out there, but this app is specifically designed for people that cannot have intercourse or just prefer not to have intercourse, whether it be for medical or personal reasons. So there's a reason why I created it, but that is the main reason, is for people that have sexual limitations, such as guys that have erectile dysfunction, or maybe women that maybe have sexual trauma or history of cancer like myself, just for them to have a comfortable, safe place to find companionship without the fear of being embarrassed or judged because of their limitations.
Okay. And so how long ago did you come up with this idea?
So I started thinking about it probably like, so I was diagnosed with breast cancer about 9 years ago. So when I was married for 20 years, and my friends would tell me that they were going on these dating apps and they were meeting these guys in their 30s and they had ED. A lot of guys have erectile dysfunction. So I would ask like, well, how does that work? And like, what, how do they tell you? And like, well, you know, they're really nervous and they're just like, well, I have prostate cancer, so I can't, you know, I can't have sex, or I had diabetes, or I have a heart condition, or I have antidepressants that cause this. And I found it was very common. And so when my friends were like complaining, like, you know, if I find another guy that has ED in his 30s, I'm going to scream. It's like, I don't know why these guys are on these dating apps. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, save their number. I want their number, because I always have painful intercourse all my adult life. So when they were complaining about it, I was like, save his number, but they didn't, you know? So then when I got divorced, that's when I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, I'm going to stay single because I can't have sex. So that's probably the safest answer. But then I thought, wait a minute, what about those guys that have ED that my friends had to turn down, and that they need to have companionship too? They deserve to be loved. So I thought, should I just stay single or should I help these people? And that's what I did, was I created the dating app, and that's, it was a big step for me. I was a stay-at-home mom. And then all of a sudden I'm like, well, let me just think of an app idea. And I didn't actually code it, but I did hire somebody
you did the majority of it, but so let's step back right there. So you pretty much came up with it, right, because you had breast cancer and intercourse became painful for you, right? And that's how you had the idea.
So it was actually, since I was in my teens, I had something called endometriosis, so that can cause painful periods and also painful intercourse. So when I started becoming sexually active, I was like, well, this freaking hurts. I'm like, but then tampons hurt too. So I was like, well, why do tampons hurt? I thought it was normal. I'd never said anything. So then when I got married and I had kept having the painful intercourse, I went to the doctor, the gynecologist, and she's like, there's nothing wrong with you. You just need to have a glass of wine. You're just nervous. So I was like, all right, okay, fine. So then I'm like, okay, let me go with another doctor a couple of years later. Same thing. Oh, you're just nervous. Have a glass of wine. You'll be fine. So then my libido started to diminish as well. So I'm like, because, you know, it's always painful. And I just like, you know what? Let me just fight through it, because it's something I have to do. I'm married, right? So then one day I was attempting to have intercourse, and it was like hitting a wall. Like, I'm like, uh-oh, like, what the hell happened? So I went to a new doctor, and she's like, you have vaginismus. And I was like, what the hell is that? She's like, well, there's these muscles in the opening of your vagina, and they're involuntarily spasming, so it's not going to allow any internal penetration. You're going to need therapy. And like, vaginal therapy? I didn't know there was therapy for vaginas.
Such a thing.
I mean, that's not the name of it. I guess it's called pelvic floor therapist. But so I went to therapy for it, and there's like these dilators you're supposed to use. I won't go into great detail, but you're supposed to like slowly stretch the opening out until you don't have any pain anymore. Like, there's like this first size is like the size of a pinky, the dilator, and you insert it for 10 minutes a day for as long as you can, however many days in consecutive days. And then if that's not painful, then you move up to the next size. So there's like five sizes: pinky size, all the way to size 5, which is Godzilla size.
Godzilla size. Whoa.
That was scary.
Yeah, it sounds it.
I mean, it was
just like,
I mean, it was scary for me, right? So I'm like, all right, why is my vagina broken? Because I didn't understand. Like, why did all of a sudden I can't have sex? What causes this? Uh-huh. So the therapist is like, well, if somebody kept coming up to you and they kept punching you in the stomach over and over again, every time they would approach you, you would just tighten your muscles and back up. Yeah. In the anticipation of the pain. So that's what my vagina was doing. So, So I started doing the therapy, and then I got breast cancer. I found a breast lump in my left breast. I was 36 years old. I was in the shower, and I was like, what the fuck is this? So I'm like, it's probably nothing. No family history. So when I went to get a biopsy to find out I had cancer, I actually had 3 tumors in my left breast, and I had to go through chemotherapy as well. I had a total of 6 surgeries for reconstruction. Then the 7th surgery was my total hysterectomy. So I was forced into menopause at 36 years old. And the oncologist said, this is estrogen fed. So the goal is to get rid of all the estrogen in your body. So you're going to have vaginal dryness and lack of libido, probably painful intercourse. And I looked at him like, wait a minute. I already have that for how many years now? And you know, I finally know what's wrong with me, but it was such a long process to cure the vaginismus, the broken vagina stuff. So I was like, great, it's going to get worse. And it did. I was like, whoa, you know, I was forced into menopause. All of a sudden I'm like, what? There's like, I had no estrogen in my body. You know, it's like, there was no gradual process to it. So I beat cancer. I lost all my hair and, you know, went through chemo and everything. And then I thought, okay, let me try using the dilators again. And I was like, this is even worse. Like, I was back to size 1, and there was a lot of dryness. And I was like, you know, it just sucked. So I kept taking a lot of breaks, and I wasn't consistent with it. And then when I got divorced, that's why I was like, uh-oh, now am I going to find somebody that's going to understand that? I'm fine with never having sex again. So, because I never enjoyed it, right? So like external stuff is fine, but I just can't have internal penetration. And I thought, guys are not going to understand that. They're going to cheat on me, whatever. And then I started realizing I wasn't alone. And there's like 30 million men in the U.S. that have erectile dysfunction. And in the world, worldwide, there's about 320 million men. So that's a lot.
Yeah, no, I think earlier what you said, you said you were like a teen when you started having the issues, right? Or early years. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. So you said like,
just
for
a while.
Yeah. So you said like, you were like, oh, this is normal or whatever. And then you went to the doctors and they're like, no, that's normal. Just have a glass of wine. And like, there's like a lot of things that like that go like unnoticed and whatnot. And you're like, that's normal. And people aren't talking about it. So you don't, if it's not normal to you, it goes like unsaid and whatnot. So I feel like a lot of people can relate to that thing.
And that's what, like with my vaginismus, I never talked to anybody about it. So my friends were like nymphomaniacs, and they're like,
right,
you know, like, oh, you're with the wrong person. And I'm like, okay, so I need to drink wine, I need to get drunk, and I need to find a different guy. Maybe that's what it is, you know, but I was with the same guy since 8th grade, but you know, that didn't seem like a really good answer. But so I did feel alone in it until now that I'm very vocal about it. I walk around and tell people that I have a broken vagina. I'm gonna get a shirt maybe that says it.
Right. I don't even know. All right, Max, let me pass it off to you. You got some questions over there.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that came to mind, you were talking about with making your app, right? Like you had somebody code and stuff. How does one go through the process of making a dating app, right? Because so you obviously told us the personal story for why you did, which is amazing. But what made you just like, how did the process of like idea to market? Like, that's the thing I'm kind of curious about, because I don't think a lot of people understand how much goes into that.
Are you asking about the process of just finding someone to make the app, or the actual marketing part of it?
Well, I guess all of it, kind of. Like, how do you go from like idea to like, hey, we need somebody to make it if I don't have that background, and then like getting it out there to people?
So I researched some app developers. I found an app developer, and he's like, oh, very good salesman. You know, this, we care about you, and you know, we know how to do this code, and we're gonna make this app for you. This is what I want it to look like. So then they kind of just put it together, and that was great until they're like, you know what? We want equity in your company. So why don't we trade services and give you the discount? I'm like, all right, maybe that's a good idea. But then they started asking me all these questions. And I was like, uh-oh. I'm like, they want to know how many users are you going to have? How much are they going to pay? How many times a day are they going to log in? Is it going to be more men, more women? How many in each state? And yeah. I was like, I don't know. So I panicked. I was like, you know what? I don't want you to have equity. And then everything went downhill and I lost a ton of money and I took the code and I left. And I thought, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. So I found another app developer and thankfully he got it to launch the end of August of 2021. But so I am doing this all on my own as far as funding and marketing. So even with, because I have lost so much, I thought, well, I think I can handle doing marketing on my own. But then I started realizing this is such a taboo topic. Nobody wants to talk about it. So so I tried to reach out to like groups like vaginismus groups. I'm like, there's 7,000 people in this vaginismus group. Then I started realizing, wait, I'm not alone. Wow. But nobody wants to talk about it. So I need to like increase awareness too with because I didn't know I had vaginismus prior to getting diagnosed with it. I had probably had a mild form. So I went like, you know, if somebody goes to the doctor and they're told the same thing, have a glass of wine, that's not normal. It's not normal to have sex and have pain with sex. So go to a different doctor. And guys with ED, I mean, some of them are scared to even go to the doctor because they think, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world for me. I have ED, you know, that's it. I'm never going to be single for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But that might be like a warning sign. Like maybe you're having, it's a warning sign. You're going to have a heart attack because you have clogged arteries or your blood pressure is too high or whatever it is. It's just with breast cancer or erectile dysfunction, whatever it is, any kind of lump you find, just go to the doctor right away. Cause it's just, it could be, I totally went off the subject with what you were asking me, but
no, you're good.
I'm all over the place. But so it's hard to market. I like Facebook, if I go onto the erectile dysfunction group and I'll say like, just this guy that posted, I don't even know why I'm living anymore. I have ED. No woman's going to want me. So I'm like, oh my God, there's suicidal guys out there. Then I started looking into it further, like the comments. And they were saying like, there's veterans that are committing suicide and they're finding out that it's because of sexual dysfunction. Like a couple of weeks or a couple of months prior to them committing suicide, they were in the counselor or the therapist's office saying that they have ED and they're depressed and they're committing suicide over it. So when I see these men say, I don't shouldn't live. And I go on there and I say, no, there's a dating app for that. And I say, it's a free app right now. It's free. And, and then I look back and my message is gone. They delete it. It's like, you can't promote your app. I'm like, but it's to help people. I want to save everybody. Right.
Yeah.
And same with the vaginismus groups. There's so many women out there that are saying like, oh, my ex or my boyfriend cheated on me, or you left me. He's very impatient. I don't want to use these dilators anymore. I don't want to fix my broken vagina, or they say vaginismus. But and same with guys. Maybe they don't want to do penile injections. Maybe they don't want to have a penile implants. And I'm trying to give that alternative. Some people say this is a dead end app. Like I talked to a specialist that does a ED podcast, erectile dysfunction podcast, and he's like, no, your app's a dead end app, so we can't talk about your app. 99% of the men want to be cured. I said, well, I'm curable, but I don't want to be cured. I should have that choice. I don't want to cure myself for somebody else. I want to cure myself for myself. And then guys, same thing. It's like they're doing these injections for these women and maybe they don't want to do it because there's big side effects. So I don't like when I hear it's a dead end app because I don't think it is, you know, because you should have a choice of what you want to do with your body.
No, I think that's something that's pretty, you know, pretty obvious in today's society on so many fronts. With having choices like that for yourself and your body. One thing I guess I would come up with what you just said is there anyone that ever uses the app? Granted, I know it came out in August, so it's kind of like a few months, like 6 months of a sample size, but like what's the feedback been? Like, is there anyone that goes on there and has been beneficial? And I guess a second question with that is more of, when people are on there, do they kind of explain like, hey, like I can do these certain many sexual things, but I have limitations here? Like, how's the preference breakdown on the app?
So for the, so they don't have to disclose what their limitations are because it might be something with sexual trauma or they just may not want to tell a stranger this. So right. they, have the right to just say like whatever little bio they want. And then when they meet in person, then they have the option of talking about if they have what type of limitations they have. And I also noticed there's people on there that are actually my friends that are on the app. And I'm like, what, you have sexual dysfunction? And they're like, nope. I just want to be with a guy that doesn't want sex all the time or not at all. You know, so I'm okay with not having sex anymore. I'd rather be with a guy that has this limitation. So I know that he won't cheat on me. And I know that I'll have that emotional connection. And so, and there's other forms of intimacy, of course. So, and I haven't had anybody reach out to me and say that they had a match and they're a successful match, but I had like a woman respond to me and say, I've been single for 15 years. I've been scared to date because these guys are rejecting me because I can't have sex because it's just too painful and I'm tired of being in pain. And now your app has given me hope. Now I can go on this app and I can meet somebody that will understand my limitations. And the same with a guy that emailed me, he actually has something called Peyronie's disease. So that's abnormal curvature of the penis. And it just, sometimes I heard it happens out of nowhere and it can cause painful erections and making intercourse painful and impossible. Like, I'm like, I didn't know what Peyronie's disease was. So this guy messaged me and he's like, you have no idea what this app means to me. I have Peyronie's disease. I feel like a fraud to these women. I don't tell them that I have Peyronie's disease. And then when they, you know, at the third, fourth date in, we're intimate, I have to explain it to them. And it's like horrible. So I'm like, I have to wonder, is like, are they going to reject me? Are they going to make fun of me? Are they going to look at me like I'm, you know, like I have two heads or whatever. Wait, I shouldn't say that.
So, I didn't even think of that.
I almost said
Devante, clip that.
So, oh my god, that was great.
That's a clip.
that was a great clip. No, but real talk, like, so many thoughts, and then I want to have Hunter talk more, but like, one, like, I never knew that existed, right? Like, let's be real, like,
which one
you might
probably all
Peyronie's?
Of
Peyronie's, yeah. I always want to call it Peyronie's disease, but no, it's not Peyronie's disease.
Yeah.
yeah, my wife, you know, the wife has the Polish background. That's why I think that way. Okay. But Peyronie's disease, okay. Like, let's be honest, like, we've probably have all, like, you know, popped on like an adult film or something, and you see maybe
Max.
No, but you see people that might have a curvature and you never think about that. And you never think it could actually be like a real, like, painful medical condition. I had no fucking clue. I always say that, like, I feel like I'm medically challenged. Listen, I am medically challenged, but it's just wild. I don't know. But
well, hold on. I got to jump in. You're looking at curved dicks on.
No, but you get what I'm saying. Never mind. No, but you get what I'm saying. You know, like, there's different shapes and sizes. I don't know. You just never realize that could be a real medical thing.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
God. But no, your app's truly a wingman, though. I know we're probably going to say that over and over again, but. The fact that you had a situation for yourself, and then as you went through trying to maybe find a problem to help others, it's like expounded to work and helped so many. And I think it's really untapped. I just really commend you for that.
Thank you. You're supposed to call me. I give you a name to call me. What am I?
Oh, yes.
Bad bitch.
The bad bitch. Yes.
Badass bitch.
Badass bitch. Sorry.
Yeah, get it right.
Badass
bitch. Not a bad bitch.
Yeah. So when I started thinking about the app, like, I'm like, okay, I had my ups and downs. I'm like, you know, this isn't a good idea. I lost all this money. This isn't a good idea. But I'm like, no, this is a good idea. And I started testing things, like, meaning, so after I got divorced, man, was with the guy since eighth grade, right? So I'm like, I'm going to start going out. I'm like, what's my outlet? I'm going to do karaoke. So I became a karaoke whore. But that's the only kind of whore I am, for the record. So, I mean, I guess I couldn't be a whore. But anyway, so I started meeting guys. Like, they'll come up to be like, hey, nice voice or whatever. So I'm like, thanks. And then it's like, hey, we want to go out? And I'm like, well, that's not exactly how they asked me, but I'm like, well, I don't know if you want my number. Let me talk to you about this limitation that I have, you know, and I created this app and they're just looking at me. They're like, oh, that's okay. I mean, you have other holes, so it's fine. And I was like,
okay.
Is that a usual response that you get?
Yes.
Guys are dogs.
Not that I have, like, not all of them are like that, but I'm not saying that all these guys are flocking towards me. Like, oh, ciao, everybody, you know. So, But the guys I have met, that's exact. I've heard at least four times. You have other holes. I've heard.
Well, oh my God.
What about anal? And I'm like, you haven't even bought me a steak dinner yet, and you already want to know if I want to have anal?
You're trying to get my ass.
Yeah. I mean, sure. No. So, or there's, yeah, the perfect reason why a guy wouldn't want to be with you. Don't ever get married. You'll never make a man happy. Oh, you must give really good head. Wait till you're with me. I'll cure you. Wait till you orgasm with me. You know, that'll cure you. And I'm like, wow, this is like, you know, I'm going to be cured. It's like, it'd be like amazing. But I wish I met you 20 years ago, but so yeah, it's, not everybody's insensitive. I did meet a guy that I really did have a good connection with, and he was honest with me. He's like, I need sex and I like you, but I can't be with you because you can't have sex. And I said, you know what? I'd rather you say that now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my friends are like, don't tell these guys that your vagina's broken. Wait till like the third date, at least, you know, if the guy's a jerk, then he'll, you know, he'll leave. And if he's not, then, you know, he'll stay with you. And I said, well, then what? But that's not fair, because I'm going to be emotionally connected or attached or whatever the word is. And then I'm going to be like totally rejected, never want to go out with anybody anymore. But then so when these guys are telling me these rude comments, insensitive comments, it reminds me like, wait, guy, I'm protecting guys and girls because they're going to hear these comments and they're going to be traumatized probably. And they're never want to go out again because it's embarrassing to hear that. You know, I mean, old Anna would have been like, what, anal? What? And I would start crying, you know, but now just like, you know, whatever.
No. Loser. It's exactly why you created the app. It's just,
yes.
That pretty much covers it. Like the regular dating isn't working for you. So like Max said, we're going to say it a million times, you creating this app, you're a wingman. Let me go back to.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Max.
Cheers. Yeah. So you said something earlier. You said you're in a Facebook group with like 7,000 people for what is it? Vagina something? I forget what it is.
Vaginismus. That's the vaginismus. Broken vagina.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yes,
there's a Facebook group for literally everything. Like you wouldn't think that. Like, were you like amazed when you like found a Facebook group for that?
Yes, and there's like three or four of them like that.
Wow.
And there's this one for vulvodynia, which is like pain for the and the run the vulva, whatever the hell that is, that located on a woman. And then but there's a group for Peyronie's disease, there's groups for erectile dysfunction, there's a couple of those, prostate cancer. So there's and even like sex after breast cancer, I'm a part of those groups too. And because all these women, most of them have estrogen positive breast cancer, meaning get rid of all your estrogen, don't use any creams, nothing, so they all have painful intercourse. And so you may not even have vaginismus, it's just painful. So it's, and there's so many people that have limitations because of conditions, and sometimes it's just from medications.
So are the people in those groups nice when you ask a question? Because my experience with Facebook groups, I make like t-shirts and whatnot for our company here, and I'm in a couple t-shirt making groups, and I'll ask a question and they'll tell me to go fuck myself and go Google it. Are they nice in your Facebook groups?
They're very nice. They talk about different types of toys too, which I find funny because like these, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Rose yet. It's some vibrator that looks like a rose.
Okay.
I don't have it. It sounded scary to me. It's supposed to do suction and
supposed
to be like, yeah. I mean, to me, that was like, oh my God, it sounds painful because of all the surgeries I had. It's like really right down there. It just hurts. Everything hurts, I guess. But so these women that you could just see, like there's like 136 comments. Oh my gosh, where'd you get the rose? And then they're like, oh my God, I had such a great night tonight. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, everybody's just talking about how, you know, it's like they're really supporting each other. You know, some of them might go on there and be like, oh, my husband was forceful with me last night because he got tired of the vaginismus. And it's like, oh my God, you know, so she was bleeding. And so like the women are very supportive, and they'll start talking about that. And, or my husband left me, he said, he's tired of me, or, you know, cause I had breast cancer or whatever it is. So I think if they're mean, they get kicked out. So I think it's
a
little more sensitive than a t-shirt.
Yeah, no, yeah, right. Yeah. No, it's nice to have those outlets of like-minded people that are dealing with the same shit as you, because you could post stuff to your like regular Facebook. People probably aren't going to understand it. So it's nice to have an outlet for that. So, you know, Facebook for the win on that one.
Yeah, when I put in my personal page, when I put like, here's my app, please share it, because you know word of mouth is the best. And like nobody likes it, nobody shares it. And then I asked somebody, I'm like, why don't anybody share it? And they're like, well, I don't want to share it because I don't want anybody to think that I have sexual dysfunction. I'm like, well, just put a little comment in there and just say, you know, I don't have, it doesn't relate to me, but it might be somebody else that's struggling.
Hey, here's my friend's page, you know?
Yeah. And that's, I met a few people that way. They're like, oh, my friend shared your post and I found your app and I'm, thank you so much, you know? And I, it's right now it's only available in the US. So when I was in the erectile dysfunction group, I put down, I was given permission to talk about my app. So I did. And I had like four messages in my inbox. One was from a guy from India, Pakistan, UK, Canada, Australia, saying, when is this app going to be available in our country? Please, we need it, please. And I was like, I'm sorry, it's not available yet, but pretty soon, you know, so I hate saying no to anybody, but I know it's just a reminder. It's so needed. And the guys are actually less sensitive. Like when you ask about the, are the girls sensitive about, you know, if they're nice, guys are not. It seems like, you know, like, oh, suck it up, you know, use your penis pump, you know, like they're like fighting about which penis pump's better. So it's
well, and here I am on this podcast a couple episodes I was talking about how I like to be the little spoon and whatnot, and I got some heat for that.
What's the little spoon? Did I miss? I don't get it.
When, like when you like cuddle and whatnot, you know, usually the guy's like the big spoon, like holding the girl and they're like spooning. Whatnot.
You like to be in front?
Sometimes I like to be held. Yeah. Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
Don't. No. All right. I got to go. I think I have enough. Oh, yeah.
No.
No, that's no. I'm just joking. No,
I just got roasted.
No, no, no. No, I think
that's what happens when you rocked with a badass bitch hunter. You can't.
Oh, yeah. I can't.
No, you should.
Trying to show my sensitive side.
But it's good that you're honest about it. You talk about it, right? So it's right. You don't have to be embarrassed about it. Own it.
I like it. I like a nice 80-20 split. I just want to be the little spoon 20% of the time. Like I'll be the big spoon. I'll step up.
Yeah, that's all right.
Just on Tuesdays.
Right. So all right, transitioning back to the dating app. Let's get back on topic here. What we're here for. So it sounds like the main thing is that brings people there is like erectile dysfunction, right? Is there any like other top ones, or I can't pronounce it. I can't remember how to, the vaginismus.
Peronis? Oh, the vaginismus. Yeah, you could just say broken vagina. It's okay.
No, I can't. I'm not saying that. That sounds insensitive.
No, because I'm saying it's okay.
Oh, boy.
I think.
That's a slippery slope, Anna. That's a slippery slope.
No, for real. You can call it broken vagina. I'm okay with
but,
it.
It's so are those the main ones that are drawing people to the app?
As far as I know, because they don't really talk to me and tell me like, oh, this is what brought me to the app. I just happen to have a few people that did say it. But and that's when I learned about Peyronie's disease was when the guy emailed me like, holy cow. So I think there's other stuff out there that I maybe don't know about.
Right.
I'm still kind of learning.
So I had a thought. I've actually thought about this years ago, but this app is almost might be perfect for it. I always wondered, so there's probably, you know, there's people out there with like STDs and whatnot. How is there, I always wondered if there was dating apps for people with STDs.
There is.
Could this be an app for that?
I mean, I guess people with STDs are still sexually active, right?
Right. So it's a sexual limitation though, right?
Right. So to people that have sexual or STDs, do they avoid sex entirely? I don't even know.
So you said some of the stuff you were saying before, people like avoid sex altogether, like they give up on trying to date. So I feel like a lot of people, like if someone has like AIDS maybe. Or something, right? Like would they want to, it's probably going to deter them a lot, right? So they probably want to date somebody like with AIDS, right? I don't know. Is that how that works?
I think so. They know it's just like there's an app for, I believe, HIV, AIDS.
Okay, is there? Yeah, see, that's what I was asking.
For sure, I know there's one for herpes.
Okay, so that idea is there.
So, I mean, anybody's welcome to use my app, even people that are sexually active. They just have to know that they may not have intercourse. So, I mean, if you've got herpes,
Well, yeah, I know you, I know you don't have to disclose. You don't have to disclose on your app, but like if you're there with like-minded like people, like or something, like I don't know, like if you got the same condition, it might be welcoming and like make you feel like encouraged, like, oh, maybe I can still date, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what I was thinking of, like when I thought of your app.
Yeah, I don't want to exclude anybody.
But, right.
So that's why, like, even someone asked me, "What about asexuals?" And I said, "Well, they can use my app too. They just have to talk about to whoever they meet what that means to them." Because I didn't understand what asexual was a while ago, and I went on an asexual aces group, and I got bullied out of there. That's when they were really mean. They're like, "You don't understand. What are you doing on this page?" I'm like, "I just have questions. I want to know what asexual means." And
right.
So, so I thought it meant asexual means a meaning without. So without sex. And they're like, "No, I still have sex. I just don't have an attraction to the other opposite gender or anybody or something like that." I probably jacked that all up. So
who knows? I'm not in trouble. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Okay. Max, do you have we're gonna get into our segments in a little bit here, our final segment and whatnot. Do you have any questions before I start wrapping the show up?
Yeah, I guess the one question that came to mind for me, you were talking about earlier in the show, but I wanted to kind of bring it full circle here, is so you overcame at 36 breast cancer. How was like that experience just sort of like with your outlook on life and kind of what you're doing now? First off, congratulations on that. Cause obviously fuck cancer. We, no one wants to have that, but what was your experience like leading to where you are now?
Well, when I was younger, for some reason, I never thought I would make it to 40. So when I was 36 and I found a lump on my, and it was cancer, I'm like, oh shit, this is it. I'm dead. And I have two kids, thank God. So that's what kept me strong. Cause I was like, okay, do I just sit in a fetal position in the bed and cry and feel sorry for myself? Or do I take action? What can I control? So I made sure, like when my hair started to fall out, I would just shave the hell out of it and kind of mohawk, you know, I try to make light of it. I was comforting everybody else around me. It seemed like too. So like, I never cried. I never felt sorry for myself. I was comforting everybody else around me crying. My friend was crying. I'm like, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I'm like, wait a minute, this is me. I'm going through this shit. But meeting other people too, I think that helped me. And meeting other people that were diagnosed and trying to help them through it. Cause I thought, you know, some people hate the saying, but everything happens for a reason. I feel like I went through endometriosis, broken vagina, and breast cancer so that I could create this dating app to help people that have these limitations. So initially, before the dating app idea, I would just try to help other people. So like I told my friends, I'm like, okay, if anybody gets diagnosed or has a cancer scare, have them contact me. This is my reason why I had cancer, I think. So then I would start helping people, but I knew there just needed to be something more. But it was tolerable. Chemo was tolerable. Thank God. I was able to work still, and I had a great support system. It's not fun, of course, but
right,
you know, it just made me a badass bitch.
Badass bitch.
It really does. No, but I just wanted to commend you on that. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, of course.
Is that all you had, Max?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You rocked that mic, Hunt.
All right. So let me ask you before we get into our final segment here.
Did you say Mike? Sorry, I just heard Mike Hunt.
Oh, rock the mic, Hunt. H-U-N-T.
It sounded like Mike Hunt. So you might want to pause before you say.
Gotta love Zoom. Mike Hunt.
No, yeah, there's just a one-letter difference.
Sorry, I just. No. Go on.
No, I'm going to interrupt you. I promise. I didn't say see you next Tuesday.
I sometimes mess with him. He'll call me Hunt, and I'll be like, what did you call me? This rat bastard, Max. All right.
Man, I got some one-liners tonight. My God.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. So, Anna, how do we get this app out there to the people that need it? How do we help you market this? How do we be a wingman and get people on this app that need it? Because there's people out there that need it. How do we do this?
Let's share the hell out of it.
Okay.
I want to learn how to use TikTok. I don't know. I heard that's a good thing. I know you guys have a TikTok page as well. Just sharing the hell out of it. I think that's what we need, because people are sitting there at home. They're like, oh, geez, you know, I'm going to be lonely forever. And then they see, if they scrolling and they see this, you're like, holy shit. You know, it's just word of mouth. Cause I want to reach therapists, urologists, cancer centers, VA clinics. There's so many different people. So the more people that share, the better. And this app is free. It's like, just, it's not like I'm trying to get rich off of it. So it's just, it's needed. And you might have someone that has it and, you know, they just don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it, but if you share it, that's helping.
All right. So wingers, you heard Anna. Let's share the fucking shit out of this for this badass bitch right here. Let's get Entwine dating app on the top of the app store, above TikTok, above Facebook, Instagram, above all that stuff. Be a wingman.
Thank you very much.
Let's get this going. Anna, you're absolutely amazing. Your story is inspiring. But we got to roll into our final segment here, Wingman Stories.
Yeah, sure, I got
Wingman Stories.
Dude, that's what friends do. Friends wingman each other.
Okay, so give us a story of a time that you were a wingman, a time you help somebody out. It doesn't have to be relationship wise or anything like that. That's the typical wingman. If anything's coming to mind, I guess you starting this app is a wingman story, but do you have anything in particular, like a very specific story that's coming to mind?
I know I would did help one of my dear friends who had esophagus cancer, 10 years of it. I was with her for till the end, but just helping her as much as I could. She was alone and didn't really have family to help her, but sucked, but you know, that's what I do, is I help other people. So
you gave you were there for that emotional support. Now that's amazing. That's probably the sweetest wingman story that we've gotten. Wouldn't you say, Max?
Yeah, no, I mean, just like you're in totality, you have that wingman quality, but that's definitely, you know, I mean, I have a cousin whose wife passed away to like a brain cancer. And so it's hard going through that whole process. Like, you know, they get out of it and then they get back and like, you know, having it diagnosed again. And no, it's, I can't even imagine. So I think that is up there for one of our most.
I mean, I don't know if you wanted something humorous or not. Cause my friend and I went kayaking and she couldn't get out of the boat and she fell in the dock. And then I laughed and I took a video.
Is that, well, that's great that's too.
That's not really helping, but.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a wingman story. Yeah.
Wait, that isn't. Yeah. That isn't. Never mind.
That might go viral on TikTok though, you know.
Jackass of a friend had the filmer, you know.
Yeah, right. You were a cameraman. Yeah, that's, you know,
I helped her up afterwards.
Right
that's the part I forgot to mention. I did help her up. That's why I did. Yeah,
right. No, I love it. So no, a hell of a wingman story right there. Anna, it was a pleasure having you come on, wingers. Where can our followers find you, Anna?
They can find me on my website at entwinedating.com. That's E-N-T-W-I-N-E dating.com. On Instagram at entwine_dating, and then Twitter and Facebook at Entwine Dating.
All right, wingers. You heard her. Make sure you're going to follow her there. Make sure you're following us.
Yes.
But Anna, it's been a pleasure. How was it coming on winging it with us?
Oh, I love it. I love being myself and saying, you know, dirty things and stuff. So it was fun meeting you guys.
Absolutely, we had a blast as well. But all right, we're out of here, wingers. Until next time,
see ya.